listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 105. Hey everybody, Kayla Lortz here with the one, the only, the caffeinated, and wearing his boots finally, John Brownstone.
This is a landmark episode. I am actually fully
clothed. Fully dressed.
Fully clothed.
With shoes.
Shirt, pants, and shoes.
And underwear.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing underwear.
Yes, you are.
And also clothes.
Yeah. But this is a first for me.
I know, I usually think half naked.
Yeah.
I know, too bad everybody can't see you.
I know.
Yeah. Well, and I want to, before we get into the rest of the episode, because I have a beautifully written introduction that you've just hijacked, but since you are wearing clothes, it is finally, for like the one day we get in October in Florida, the day we can open up all the windows and doors.
It's fall.
And so we have, and so there might be background noise, especially if the dog right. sees a squirrel looking at him funny.
Squirrel? Squirrel?
Shh, don't say it too loud! So, you might get to find out just how yappy our dog is. But, we're here for an episode. Like, there's a purpose, I think.
Oh.
Other professional people would re-record this, and we're not professional.
I thought we were just hanging out.
We are just hanging out. This is kind of a big bonus episode.
It is.
Because I think under different circumstances, we would have gone, you know what, I think we get to take this week off.
Right.
And we didn't do that.
No, we didn't.
So, yeah, if you're here for like hard-hitting educational stuff, no, we are so sorry. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Try again.
This is us just chilling, but I'm going to do the intro because I wrote it.
Okay.
And I did my job, and so I need to keep doing my
Carry
job.
Carry on.
Thank you. Okay. So we're actually recording this episode 2 days before our wedding, and the earliest you can possibly hear it is one day before our wedding. So at the request of several crickets, whom we love very much, this week we thought we'd finally talk about how we met, our superhero origin story, if you will. I know. I feel like a Marvel character.
Well, I never really thought of us as superheroes. But
we're not. But we do have superpowers.
We do have superpowers, so.
We're not superheroes, but it's our superhero origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I like how that sounds. Thank right. you very much. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm or on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc. All links are in the show notes. So we can't completely dick around. I have work. We have announcements. But I'm going to keep them short.
Okay, yeah, right. Believe that when I see it.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try really hard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men.
Sure.
Okay, so the first one. So we are coming at the end of October.
Right.
And I finally did a thing I've been saying I wanted to do for 3 or 4 months. And I did it this month. So next month, November 2017, our live stream meetings for our Kinky Fuckery members
yeah.
are already scheduled. They are already in the calendar in the community. That would be the link that says calendar. If you click it, you can see the calendar, y'all. And I've emailed all of our current Kinky Fuckery members to say, hey, here's the schedule. Put these dates on your calendar. And it's not even November yet. I want, I don't know, a gold star.
No wonder it's so cold.
Stop. I know. How far is over? I think I want a gold star or a treat or something. Because not only did I not have to be reminded, I did it before the end of the month. So, of course, then we have to keep reminding people, of course, and, you know, getting people to sign up, of course. But still, I did that part. The dates are scheduled. All the information's in the forum. The people have been emailed. I added it to the calendar. My job here is done. Except it's not done, but still.
No, it's never done.
I'm feeling very proud of myself. So if you are a Kinky Fuckery member and you're thinking, I didn't see an email, please check spam. We tend to go there. The next announcement is we are, because we're about to start a new month, November 2017,
yeah.
Kinky Book Club rolls over.
Yay.
And it's one book to cover both November and December because nobody's got time for that kind of stress and pressure at the holidays when life is just kind of weird for everybody. So one book to cover 2 months, and it is a book called Horatio Slice by Oleander Plume, who is a fabulous writer, a sister in smut of mine on Twitter.
Hard.
Oh yeah, if you say hard 3 times, Horatio Slice is supposed to show up.
Yes.
I know. Oh, I hope Horatio Slice shows
Horatio Slice shows up.
Yes.
Say that fast 5 times.
No, I'm not gonna. I couldn't say it slow 1 time. But the point of the reminder is, one, hello, the book changes over. But two, Oleander emailed me the other day and said, oh, my publisher is putting the book on sale on Amazon from October 26th through October 31st. So if you're listening to this at the end of October 2017 and you haven't purchased your book yet, now is the time to get it. We put our link we have for it on Twitter. We've put it in the book club group in the community. We put it in the book. I put it in the book club forum in the community. And I will also link to it in the show notes page. For this week, there's not going to be much in the way of show notes, y'all, but I'll put that link there for anybody who wants it. And so, yes, it's on sale if you haven't gotten your copy yet.
Woohoo!
And our link that we're sharing is an affiliate link. So for every book you buy through our link, we make about 3 cents. I'm okay with that, though. I am okay with that. I was looking at our Amazon affiliate numbers, and for the past 2 weeks, we've made a whole 80 cents, and that's 80 cents more than we had before. So that, just full disclosure, that is an affiliate link. So if you do, if you click our link and you buy something, we make a small commission, clearly not enough to roll in the money. One day I will put all those pennies together and I will roll in them naked and then pick them out of some
crevices.
Right. But it'll still be fun to think about. So there's that. And that's the announcements. And then we are going to switch it up a little bit this time, because I kind of think of this episode as just a big old bonus section. We're going to do postcards first.
Okay.
And we did get postcards.
We got
a postcard, and then we got two actual cards, and our two cards came from all the way from freaking Australia. So how cool is that? And I'll just say Mel. I won't say last name because I don't know if Mel has a pseudonym. So, but Mel, we did get your card. So I'm going to start with you, because, I'm used to the cards being addressed to me, but one really was to me. Because one was a birthday card. Ooh. My birthday is October 30th, which is why I do not give two shits about Halloween, because I'm a baby girl and I care about my birthday, and I always have. So it was a happy birthday card. So thank you. And then the other card, though, was addressed to me, but it's really for us, but it was still addressed to me. It is a wedding card, sort of a congratulations, happy wedding.
Someone getting married?
You better show up. Just paid all the money and all the people, and I've had already had two cancellations, and there's been drama, and so you better show up. I'm wearing my dress, looking pretty and eating cake. So the message in that one is wishing you every happiness on your wedding day and the many special days yet to come. Congratulations. So thank you. We have to say, Mel, you are our first, you are officially my first birthday card of the year, so that's very cool. And you're our first official wedding card, I guess.
Yes.
Because the entire family's like, oh, well, we'll see you day of.
Right.
We'll just hand you a card then, but that's okay. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
And your aunt has already texted you to say she mailed the card.
She blew up my messaging, yes.
Yes, she did. She's like, what, in her 70s, but she works the emojis.
Oh,
like, She makes 20-year-olds look like they don't know what they're doing.
That's right. She puts them to shame.
Yeah. She, with emojis, actually made an image of nothing but emojis that look like an engagement ring.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even know how to do that. She's a cool lady. And she's Italian, so I know that card's got money in it. See, technically, it's my birthday, and, you know, I should be getting, like, a tenner from my grandma or something. But I'll take a tenner for the wedding. I have no shame at all. It's family. I would feel worse about it if it was from, like, other people who aren't family, but it's family. They're supposed to, aren't they supposed to do that? Good Italian families, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why I married an Italian. That was on my checklist.
Oh, I thought it was just for the sauce.
Well, I was getting the sauce for free. Okay, I just made myself speechless. Y'all, we are not drunk, nor have we had too much caffeine yet. We are just now really drinking our coffee, but we might be a little punch drunk.
Maybe.
It's possible. So now I'm going to go to our postcard that we got.
Yes.
And it is Cassie Coy. I think I said that right last time, and I think you said that I said that right, so I'm saying that right again. And it's another postcard, and this is from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and it's a lighthouse, which is wonderful. And it says Cape Henry. I was looking at it going, ooh. Cape Henry lighthouses. Yeah. It's beautiful, and it makes me think of my friend. And she tells a story of seeing her long distance partner and it being wonderful and also very difficult, especially after that first time that you have to part.
Yeah.
And it is hard. And we will actually discuss that in this episode because we knew all about it. And then a congratulations on our wedding. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And yes, she says at the end, remember to have fun and enjoy the day. Everybody keeps asking me in the family, I mean, or like when I was getting my hair done, they're like, oh, are you excited for the wedding? And I just laugh hysterically, like a little bit like a hyena. And I go, no, I'm excited to sit down and eat my steak dinner because I've already decided I'm having the steak and eat my wedding cake and look pretty. And that's really what I'm going for. If I just want, if it was just the marriage, I would have just done that at like the courthouse. I'm there for the cake and the dress, quite frankly. So yeah, the wedding, I'm ready for it to be Sunday, quite frankly. I'm ready for it to be the day after the wedding. I'm really ready for it to be Monday, and not just because it's my birthday, but because it's when everybody else goes home.
They haven't even gotten here, you're ready for them to go home.
Well, I know, because my anxiety is already anticipating the chaos, and it's just ugh. So anyway, I've totally made postcards and cards weirder than it usually is when we get them. But if you would like to send us a postcard, and remember the way this works is if you send us a postcard and you include your return address, then we will send you one of our special postcards, and it's like we're kinky pen pals, and that's fun.
Yep.
And no, you do not have to send us birthday cards or wedding cards. This was extremely sweet and generous
it
of
was.
Everybody.
Thank
and,
you very much.
And we appreciate you. This is not me trolling our cards, but I do like mail that is not a bill. So I will take...
Ain't that the truth?
I will take your postcards, your Hallmark cards, your... We've had people make their own postcards.
Yep.
We've had people send handwritten letters. It really, really... we will take any of it. And if you give us your return address, then we will send you a special postcard too. So if you would like to join in the fun and have me butcher your lovely message in an upcoming episode, because I really should not be in charge of this, and yet somehow I am. You can send us a postcard or a whatever to P.O. Box 391, P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida, Crystal Beach, Florida, 34681. 34681. And if you're driving and listening to this, you're like, fuck, I didn't get that. It's okay. One, you can rewind. And two,
it'll be in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. It's always in the show notes. We actually have a page on livingbdsm.net called Postcard Project, because I suck at titling things, and that's what the hell I called it. So you can join in the fun and have me butcher your lovely, lovely message in an upcoming episode. So that is all that stuff. And so now, we should actually get into the actual episode. I was not quick at all about any of the other.
Well, you see what I started doing while you were doing your quick announcements.
I know. He's looking at one of his woodworking catalogs, y'all, and I was not going to call him out, even though I really wanted to, and then he just outed himself. And so then I don't feel bad for you knowing that as I'm apologizing for being awful at doing these postcards, that he was perusing woodworking things because he likes to play with his wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
Mm-hmm.
We know.
I'm the wood dude.
Yes, you are. And I, apparently, over at Pixie Heart's family, am pretty sassy lady. And that's pretty true. I am pretty sassy.
Yes, she is.
I don't think that's how they meant it, but that's how I took it. Yeah, I'm pretty sassy. I'm actually wearing a shirt today that says, "If only sarcasm burned calories." I'd be the thinnest bitch around if sarcasm burned calories. But
if that was the truth, you'd turn sideways and couldn't see
you. You wouldn't even be able to see me.
That's right.
Fuck that eating right shit. I just, you know. But this shirt has been a connector. We walked in the dry cleaners to my dress. We got all our wedding clothes pressed because, one, our iron is broken, and two, I suck at ironing. Even if it worked, I'm really awful at it. So we were getting our clothes for wedding day picked up from the dry cleaners, and the woman who checked us out, one, she clearly had to stare at my boobs because most of the words go right across my boobs.
Yeah.
And two, loved the shirt. So we immediately bonded. And I thought, why can't you be the lady who helps me every time I walk in here? Normally it's this older lady who's very good at her job, but she's kind of crusty.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like, and I think, oh, I'll just leave you the hell alone. She's probably one of those people that the longer she gets, she sees you and she gets used to you, the nicer she becomes.
Right.
Which is how I am now and will be as an old lady too. So I said I'm like that now.
I had something in my throat.
You stop that. I admitted I'm like that now. I admitted it. So we are supposed to be talking about how we met. And here's what's funny about this. I have been writing about how we met since I finally got comfortable admitting that we were a thing, which was several months in. I only hinted at you on my blog. But because I've been writing about our relationship since a few months in, I sort of feel like, oh, well, everybody knows the story. I don't have to tell the story. They were all there for the story. But in reality, y'all who are listening probably were not. There might be a couple people who have come over from the blog. There's a few people who have been from the beginning, and then they now listen to the show and all that. But in reality, even the readers of my blog weren't there from the beginning because I didn't talk about it at first.
No.
I kept it very, very private because I wasn't even sure it was real, and I was not going to have another public breakup.
I was her dirty little secret.
You were my dirty little secret. you were my anxiety, is actually who you were, because I did not believe it was really going to last. It was too good to be true. I had just poured my heart out in the post on my blog about my previous relationship, and so because I still do, but I definitely did then. I blogged everything. It was my personal therapy. When I met that person, I blogged about it. Our relationship, I blogged about. And our breakup, I blogged about. And I was so torn up in that blog post. People who I only knew through the blog immediately were like, they were either chatting with me through Google, because you can do that through your Gmail, or they were calling me, or they were like, I had people come out of the woodwork to go, okay, you're going to, I mean, it was amazing. And it was all other sex bloggers. It was the sex blogging community that sort of came out and went, oh, you're, it's okay. It's okay. Cause I was like most submissives who I think kinky people, but I know from personal experience, it can hit a submissive really hard. You know, who am I if I'm not submitting to this person? And this person was guiding me and giving me direction, and now I'm rudderless and lost. And I was just, oh my God, it was, and as a single mom who couldn't even like think about her kinky stuff during the day, I had to keep it together enough to parent and go to work and then completely fall apart. When I got home and was sitting in front of my blog, I didn't eat for 3 weeks. My best friend, she watched me drink sweet tea and every once in a while eat a few French fries or crackers for 3 weeks. And she was so worried about me. And I even then I couldn't tell her, she knew I had met somebody, but she didn't understand that it was DS and that I was a submissive. Yeah. And this is, you know, the one of the worst moments of my life. And so that's where I was. And a month and a half later, you showed up on my radar.
Yeah.
And I showed up on your radar.
Yes.
When did I show up on your radar though? Like, when did you come across my blog? Cause I don't remember that part anymore.
Okay. The way that happened was, I was talking to and had met, oh gosh, what was her name? Mm-hmm. Night Owl.
Oh, okay, yes.
And I had suggested to her that she start a blog.
Mm-hmm. Because I met her through her blog.
Right.
So yeah.
Kind of get some stuff out of her head. So she started writing, and you apparently found her blog, or she found your blog, or whatever.
Right.
And you two started talking. And I was kind of like, I'm a curious George.
Yes, you are.
So I was like, okay, who is this person?
I didn't know either. I was figuring it out. Mm-hmm. So
so I followed back to your blog and started reading your blog.
And I had been blogging at that point only a few months. I had not been blogging that long at that point because we met in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I started my blog, I think it was April 2012.
Right.
You came across me in what, November or early December?
It was November, I think.
Right.
Late November.
So you only had about 6 months of content to go through. But what I remember you admitting,
it was still a good enough amount of content to read through.
I know. Well, because I blogged every day, sometimes twice a day.
Yeah.
Like, I did not miss a day.
No, you didn't.
I had shit to say.
You did.
But what really struck me, and I can't remember when you admitted, I think we'd been kind of chatting a little bit when you told me, it was when you said, I've read everything you've written. And I was like, holy shit. Which meant that you knew me at that point,
mm-hmm,
on certain levels. You at that point knew me better than people who know me in real
because
life.
Because I really liked what you were writing. And I was just like, I have to know more.
Aw, My writer heart really likes to hear that.
And I went back to the very beginning of your blog and just started reading through. Now, you know, I'm glad you like it because I was thinking, you know, my gosh, if she knew I was doing this at the time, she'd probably think I was like some crazy cyber stalker.
Well, I think it does help that you did not admit that to me until we'd been chatting through our comments. So here's what's funny. So it wasn't like I got an email out of the blue. You read something I had written and you commented.
Correct.
And so then I still have this policy to this day, and not every blogger does, and there's different reasons for it, and that's fine. But my policy is, unless a comment is kind of awkward and I don't even just know how to respond, I respond to everything. Even if it's just a thank you, right. I respond to every comment.
Yeah.
So when you commented, and you were very, I remember you being very complimentary, and there was something, and I know this doesn't make sense. I think more people will understand it now because most of us live our lives online, but you can sometimes get a vibe from comments. Maybe it's how it's worded, it's something. And the vibe I got from you immediately was, this dude's cool. Like, I didn't have romantic feelings. I didn't have sexual feelings. I was like, okay, this guy's not, and this might sound really gendered, but I have a feeling that women who spend their lives online understand this better. There are just some comments you get that make you go, ooh, I'm not sure about that dude, right? Like, ooh. And sometimes it's because that poor person is really awkward and they just don't know how to be better. And as you get to know them, you go, oh, okay, that they were being awkward. But some are just kind of skeezy. And it was a very calming thing for me, like from the first comment. And so what I did, I think you'd commented on a couple of blogs at that point.
Couple posts.
Posts. Well,
yeah.
Blog posts. I finally clicked back and saw that you had your own blog. And I was like, oh, well, let me go see Southern. You were at the time, you were like southernsir.wordpress or something, right? We were both just on WordPress, the freebie option. We weren't self-hosted at the time. And you had not posted quite as nearly as much as I had, but you were posting some really good stuff. You were posting your thoughts and your feelings, but you were also doing a Dirty Elf on the Shelf series.
Yes.
And it was fucking hilarious. And so I was commenting on that, and I was completely enamored with your blog. And so we were, that's where we started our, we would have conversations.
Yeah. Through the comment section.
And I have to say, and this is back in like my innocent days of blogging where I blogged just because I had stuff to say and just because I wanted to get stuff out of my head. I always then would pay attention to anybody who commented or liked or interacted with a post of mine the same day it was published, especially since I was writing, I had to write very late at night. Because I had to wait for the kids to be in bed. And, you know, it was just like, it was crazy. And I only had an hour or two a night to do any of that kind of stuff. So knowing your blog reading habits now, it makes way more sense. Because, y'all, he gets like 30 or 40 different emails a day. And half of them are his blog subscription emails of bloggers he follows.
Right.
He does the heavy lifting. I don't read as many blogs as I would like to, so you do all of that. But I know now his method,
MO.
Right. Like, I know how he goes through his email, and I know who he'll read first and who, you know, and I apparently became one of the ones that when it came through, you went ahead and read it.
Yeah.
Because almost every time, unless clearly you apparently were living your own life at the time, but I don't know that you lived in my computer. That is all I know. You lived in my computer. You were usually commenting within an hour. Like, before I'd go to bed, there'd be a comment. And ooh. I got to the point where I sort of expected that.
Really?
Well, it was a habit sort of thing. You were always there.
And it was
always very polite conversation. And then I think we got kind of jokey with one another, light teasing.
Yeah.
And then I was going through kind of an emotive period. We were getting to the end of the holidays, into December. And I was thinking about how I still hurt from the breakup and how I wasn't even sure I ever wanted another relationship. And I was just going to fuck around. And y'all, I know myself better now. That was never really going to work. I don't do casual. I want to be the type of person who does casual. I'm not the type of person who does casual.
Not wired that way.
I'm just not wired that way. But I was trying. I was trying really, really hard. And I can't remember now. I think I wrote something about how I was feeling. Of course I did. It's what I did at the time. It's what I do now. And you wrote a comment that was really kind and really wonderful. And because of the information, as a person with a blog, I see information about the people who comment, especially since, you know, you're supposed to put in an email address. You know, it's not published, but I have access to it. And so I got your email and I emailed you. And it was the most forward thing I have ever done in my life with the opposite sex. Like, it's just, maybe just with people in general, with strangers.
You sent that email to me.
You have it. Oh,
I have it. I still have
it.
You sent that email to me through my comment, talk to me page.
Did I use that? Okay. Yep. I couldn't remember.
And it came on December 23rd,
2012.
Yep.
At 3:51 p.m. Okay, so that was the first.
Yeah.
And it started something that had continued until 2014, really, when we moved in.
Pretty much, yeah.
We emailed constantly.
Yeah.
Every day.
And
we both kept every single one of those emails.
Right there in your own folder, 1,495 emails.
Which means, because I kept all of them too, that would be the number in your folder.
Pretty
well,
much.
Well, actually, there's more, because everything you ever sent me that I want to save since then, even ones after we've moved in together, goes in that folder.
Right,
because so
I would send you stuff from work. And
and it all just goes in there. I can't believe I'm going to say this, a John folder.
Yeah,
it says, I don't want to say John Brownstone folder, but... Take off the brownstone. Oh, I hate saying your name.
It was like just before. Mm-hmm. It was the eve of Christmas Eve.
Yes, and here's what I remember about it. First of all, I was trembling when I sent that message.
Really,
absolutely, because I don't reach out to people I don't know. But you made me feel so comfortable and so relaxed that I was like, this is meaningful. I can't even remember what you had just said. I probably could go back to the post because I sent it on the 23rd. We know. We have a timestamp. I can go find the post. But you had left this really kind comment, and it hadn't... You know, there were guys at the time who would comment on my blog, and I didn't even show images. Like, I didn't do boob shots at that point. I think I did a little bit later. Maybe I was starting to around that time. But there were... skeezy guys who would go, oh, look, I just read her sexual fantasy, or she's talking about her masturbation habits, and I'm gonna come across as a little bit slimy.
Yeah.
And you just never did. And so I did the most forward thing I've ever done. I contacted you without any clear signal that you would even want me to. To this day, y'all, I don't do that. Okay. I'm trying to be a businesswoman and I still have problems with that. And then we chatted. I mean, that was probably the first time in my life I really did start carrying my phone around with me so I could constantly check
really?
Email. Because I told myself, he's not going to respond anytime soon. It's the holidays. It could be a few days. Just put it out of your mind. But of course, my phone is now in my hand and I'm obsessively checking my email through my phone. And when you responded back, I was like, holy shit, he responded back. And we chatted, and somewhere in this one thread, I was putting together one of the kids' presents. It was one of those like plastic tricycle-y kind of things, like a Hot Wheels tricycle thing. And a Harley tricycle. And I sent you a picture when I put it together. I don't remember if it was that day or the next day, but I sent you a picture. It must have been the next day.
Must have been the next day. There's no attachments.
And I thought, and the whole time I'm going, how daring of me. He's a stranger and I've just sent him a picture of this Harley Davidson Hot Wheels plastic tricycle. But I was also very proud of myself because I put it together myself.
Right, yeah.
And I had never done that either. And you were the one I wanted to tell and the one I wanted to share with.
Okay.
And now here's the rest of, we could probably fast forward through the next few months because the next few months were of me denying that I had any feelings for you.
Right.
And telling you that we could be friends, but it wasn't, I was never, no.
And all I told you through that was, you know, doesn't matter. I have no expectations. What I want is for you to be happy.
You gave me so much freedom to be a basket case. Like there was, and it was a good thing. I mean that in a good way. There was no pressure from you. And part of it, I'm sure, is because you had read my blog. You had read through, here's this new, here's me discovering BDSM. Here's me discovering submission. Mm-hmm. Here's me meeting somebody. Here's me having these moments with this somebody. Oh gosh, here's the emotional downfall of the breakup. You know, you had read every bit of that. Yeah. And, you know, some people, and I know because they tried it, would have gone, oh, well, clearly you're sad and lonely and desperate. Come here, baby. You know? and you went, whoa, it's cool. It's cool. Because, and I, again, this sounds very gendered, and I'm sorry, but I know it happens to women. If it happens to men, I want some guys to tell me about it because I've just not heard of it. There are the people who go, oh yeah, you're going through heartbreak, and I'm gonna say the right words so I sound like I'm not pressuring you, but really I'm just waiting for that moment, and I'm waiting here for you to like notice me, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And me personally, because I might be really bad with people in the sense of I can't really make eye contact real well sometimes, and I get my social anxiety will like fuck with my head. But I read people really well, which is why I don't like a lot of people, because I read them immediately and I'm really judgy about it and I'm harsh. And my reading of you purely through text, I hadn't even heard your voice yet, was I was completely comfortable with you. Like I knew that you meant it when you said, I'm trying to be your friend, where it's cool. This isn't, you know, this, I'm not coming after you. Now, maybe you remember better than I do, but okay. Then there came that point where we decided, oh, let's have an actual phone conversation.
Yes.
Because we started out through the comments, then we went into the emails, 1500 later.
Yep.
And then we got to text message.
No, chat.
Chat?
Chat.
Chat through what, chat? I don't remember chat.
Yeah.
I don't remember chat.
No?
Chat through what? What did we use? I don't remember chat. I remember text messaging.
I did not. It was Google.
Google chat. Yeah. So I would have it pulled up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess because I was in my email, I felt like it was.
Because I didn't have a smartphone at that time. So I actually, what I did to be able to chat with you when I was away from the computer, I installed a chat program on my Kindle.
Oh, is that what you did?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
I didn't even know to ask you that. I was like, oh, look, we're talking. And maybe that's why I remember it as being email, because I would have Gmail open.
Yeah.
And so we would just chat. We
chatted through there.
But then we exchanged phone numbers and we texted.
Correct.
Before we called.
Yes.
And the night, because it was always at night, the mm-hmm. night you called me, I almost stopped breathing. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Because there's a couple things. One, what if he's got a fucked up voice?
Gee, thank you.
Well, you can admit whatever you might have thought of me if you'd like. It's okay. So here's part of what had happened. Because I was getting the email notifications and there was some like IP information and location information and whatever through WordPress and stuff, I had tracked you down. And I knew you were in the Tampa Bay area. I didn't know specifically where you were.
Yeah.
And then once you gave me your name, of course I Googled you.
Of course.
Right. And so then I found your Facebook.
Ooh.
And that's how I knew you were married at the time.
Right.
So then I actually immediately felt safer. I was like, oh, we're clearly just friends because he's married. And that's how I roll. Okay. And then I saw, and I did not know it at the time, what was apparently a very old picture of you on Facebook. And I went, oh.
Oh, that picture.
It was not a very flattering picture, y'all. It was not. So in my mind...
In my defense, I was 19 and it was the 70s.
No, not that picture.
Not that picture?
No, it was one before you lost a lot of weight. When you went through your rotund period.
Yes.
And it's, you know, if you had become rotund while we were together, of course it wouldn't have bothered me, but I didn't have an emotional attachment to you yet. And I went... Oh, well, looks aren't everything, because I'm no prize either. You know, I was struggling with my weight at the time, so it's like, okay. And I don't, because when you talk to somebody online, and we never use Skype. I know a lot of people use Skype these days. We never used video chat.
No,
we kept it strictly text or voice.
Yeah.
You make a picture in your head of what a person looks like.
Right.
So
yeah.
I didn't know. But then I didn't know that was an old picture. And of course I was going, oh, he's married. Oh, well, okay. Then that's it. Then he's married. And that's all I need to know. But then it was easier to relax because I was like, oh, mm-hmm. We're clearly just friends. But this is looking back on it. I was clearly half in love and just was not admitting it because I was so nervous the night we talked for the first time on the phone. I was so nervous. Partly because I was worried your voice might be fucked up. But partly because it is much easier to be removed from a situation when you're just typing at a keyboard or tapping at a keyboard on your phone.
True.
And hearing a person's voice is a personal thing. It's a connection in a different way, you know?
Yeah.
Which is why when somebody emails me, when a submissive emails me and says, oh, well, my online dom refuses to talk on the phone with me. I've never heard their voice. I'm thinking... that's a bad sign.
Yes.
Because it's not as personal as being there in person. It's not even as personal as a video thing where you can see each other, but it's a personal thing to have somebody's voice in your ear. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a connection. And when mm-hmm. somebody doesn't want to make that connection, then you kind of have to question things.
Especially in an age where it's more convenient to text than to even talk to somebody on the phone.
Right, absolutely. I don't use my phone for talking on it. That's made for that? It has that option? What? I thought it was just a texting and gaming tools. My word games. But yeah, I do. Now, so what did you, were you nervous that night that we talked for the first time?
Yes.
What were you nervous about? Did you think I'd have a fucked up voice? It's okay.
No. I was worried that you would think I had a fucked up voice and reject
me.
Oh,
no, God. No. I loved your voice from like the very first moment. I was like, oh, he's got this really relaxed voice. Now, I will say when you are nervous, your voice gets a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And when you're relaxed, it mellows out. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, you were nervous when we first talked to you. Because I know your voice. I can hear your voice in my sleep. I know your voice. And it's much mellower when you're
That's
relaxed.
That's because I talk to you in your sleep, giving you subliminal messages.
Stop that. So we have talked in previous episodes that from there, you know, over time, we did a DS thing that was completely non-sexual.
Well, even before that, you know, going back to the blog thing, it was shortly after that you shared your personal blog.
My vanilla blog. I know. And you read every word of that.
And that was several years.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. No, it was a couple years.
Maybe. Yeah. 2000. I started in 2011 and I was still writing it in 2012. Mm-hmm. And much like the beginning of the sex blog, I had a lot to say.
Yeah.
So I said it. Well, that was the blog I used to get through my divorce.
Right.
And that was my therapy for my divorce, which is why anybody who asks, you know, what can I do? I can't afford therapy, or I'm in therapy, but I need more. I'm always like, I think you need to write. It doesn't have to be good writing. You just have to get those words out of your head. And I know that that doesn't work for everybody, but and it's done some wonders for me. So I'm sort of evangelical about it. Everybody needs a blog, or everybody needs a pen and paper, and you just need to get that stuff out of your head. But and that was meaningful to me when it was difficult to share it with you, but I felt like, this guy is my friend. I mean, I wasn't using the term best friend, but mm-hmm. you were somebody that I was relying on and depending on and felt safe with.
Right.
And it was still kind of a big deal to share that blog with you, but less so because at that point you knew about my most erotic thoughts. Yeah. And I think you might have known what my boobs looked like by then. I think I was...
because you started doing Boob Day,
participating in a meme called Boob Day.
And you were telling me about your dates.
Oh, God, I know. God, I was so shameless. Because I truly did believe for a while, because denial is very powerful. I truly did believe, oh, we're just friends. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to believe it. And so I made a point of telling you, oh, yeah, I'm going out with this guy. I'm going out with that guy. This guy said this. What does that mean? I think I even asked you for advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I'm an idiot. But you know, here's what's funny. So at the time I was... sharing an office with a new coworker who I really, really like. I got to see her earlier this year, unfortunately at a funeral, but still I got to see her and it was good. And she was saying to me, oh, you've got this is there's something here. You've got to stop denying your feelings. There's something
really?
Here. There's something here. And I kept going, no, there's not. But you sent me gifts. You sent me flowers. You sent me a necklace.
Yeah.
So, and then you would send me some small thing and go, I just saw it and thought of you. And I was still outwardly saying, oh, we're not exclusive. That was when we were becoming sexual, but I would say we weren't exclusive. And she would say, you can't see your face right now. Your face is giving you away. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you have lit up. You are glowing. It was flowers you sent me. Because you asked, I think that was the day you asked me to wear purple. Or you asked me what color I was wearing that day. And then flowers came and they matched my purple sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she said, you have got to stop denying this. I was like, what are you talking about? Because see, yeah, it went from we were just friends and we were just talking to we were talking about DS. I mean, I knew you were dominant. You knew I was submissive. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we knew each other through our blogs. And then I asked for help in a very DS-y kind of way because the guys I was fucking around with, they wanted to be dominant, but they were not dominant. They weren't bad guys. One guy ghosted on me, and that was fine. He was one of those, he'd talk real big to me through FetLife, and then every time, oh, sure, we can meet. Nope.
Really?
And then he just vanished off the planet. I have a feeling he was probably lying through his teeth the whole time. To me, but it was fun and it made me feel good and it made me feel like I was, you know, being really casual and I wasn't getting my emotions invested in anybody because I was, you want to talk about a time I probably could have gone to therapy and should have gone to therapy. That was a time my emotions were just jacked up from that DS
breakup. Like a roller coaster.
Oh God. I know, because you're the one that took the chisel and got through the wall I had built.
Not
up
even a
me.
Jackhammer, folks. It was an actual chisel with a hammer and tap.
I know, and it worked. It worked. You were slow and methodical and consistent, which it was huge. You know, I never had anybody on a romantic or emotional level that wasn't family. I had never had anybody be that consistent with me. Ever.
And you know, it was funny. What really pushed you over the edge, you asked me a question one day when we were talking.
You remember all kinds of stuff.
And you said, well, you know, if I meet a dom.
Yes, I remember this.
And I'm in a relationship with him, I still want to be friends with you.
Right. You're my best friend. Yeah. I didn't say those words, but in my head, yeah, you're my best friend.
And I was just like, well, that's flattering, but it's probably not gonna happen.
I know, I got so pissed off.
You
I was
did.
Like, I don't want the fucking dom who won't let me be friends with whoever the fuck I want to be friends with.
And I was like, you know, look, I mean, if you are a submissive to a dominant, you are serving that person. And, you know, he's most likely not going to want you to be friends.
Then he's not going to be my dominant. I'm not going to have that shit. I was so pissed off. And yet I still was in total denial about my feelings for you. And so that is really, so we meet through the blog. We start talking through email, through text. We start talking on the phone. We start lightly doing very non-sexual DS. We talked about that in our contracts episode. And then... And yes, I'm clearly extolling the accounts of my sexual whatever's adventures with other people to the man who I apparently was secretly in love with, just didn't know it. And at the same time, I'm blogging, and I'm not blogging about you at all.
No.
When we finally sort of dipped our toes into, oh, well, maybe we could do something kind of sexual too, I wrote about it in terms of pure fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, I would not admit that had happened. It was a thing I thought up. Nah, that shit fucking happened, or a close approximation. Now, what I don't remember anymore, and I really think it probably was, you came to see me in March of 2013.
Correct.
And it was spring break week for the kids, and I got them over to my mom's house. So I had the whole house to myself.
Uh-huh.
And you showed up, and to me, that was it. I had told myself while you were headed that way, and I knew you were gonna be there, I'd said, okay, if this doesn't work out, if this isn't, then I'm gonna go back to casual, and we'll be friends, and it'll be fine, or maybe we won't. But you walked in, and that was it for me. Like, any thoughts of other people, I still kind of wrestled with it after you went home because it was still so new and I was afraid to believe it was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
But thoughts of that was it for me. I couldn't admit it. I couldn't say it out loud. I couldn't even say it to my coworkers who were watching me just glow all over the place. And I really couldn't admit it to myself, but I had no use for any of these others that I'd been kind of dicking around with.
It was the motorcycle and the leathers.
Yes. Well, and here's what's funny. So things we caution people to do, like when you meet, especially as a submissive, you meet a dominant for the first time, you should meet in a public place and you should do this and you should do that. We broke all those fucking rules. Okay.
I was actually very upset with you for that.
I know. Like, I knew, here's the thing. I fucking knew. I couldn't admit it to myself.
Yeah.
But I had known for months. When I look back now and I think about how, when I understand my feelings, mm-hmm. take out my actions, fuck what I was doing, fuck what I was saying. When I think about how I felt,
yeah,
I probably knew on December 23rd at 3:59 p.m., okay? Because I am not the person who reaches out to somebody like yeah. that. I'm still to this day not.
I know.
So I think I knew then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also had that whole, well, you've just been dumped and isn't that too soon? And you're just, this is rebound. And that was the thing. I didn't want you to be a rebound. Yes. We had that conversation. Yes. I didn't want you to be a rebound.
Many times we had that conversation.
We had a lot of conversations many times. They usually ended up with me sobbing on the phone because I was paranoid. I mean, I remember saying to you, people always leave me. People always leave
right.
me. Because even when they don't physically leave me, my ex-husband would still be hanging on my ass right now if I hadn't kicked him out. But he mentally checked out. From the very beginning.
Okay.
And that was my thing. People always leave me. People always leave me. And I was terrified. Like with you, I knew if you left me, shattered. Like I would not recover from that. Even though, even before we became sexually active and a more loving and sexual kinky DS couple, like an mm-hmm. actual couple, I knew. So I kept trying to keep you at bay, because if I let you get too close and you left me because everybody leaves me, I wouldn't be able to handle it. I didn't know what I'd do, but I knew I wouldn't be able to handle it. And so, yeah, you with that chisel and that consistency and yeah. that, and that mellow voice. And
well, you know, when we were talking about finally meeting and we set the time,
you met in my house alone, and we got kinky within like 10 minutes of being there. We broke all the rules.
And, you know, when we started talking about it, I was like, you know, let me know a good motel close by, hotel. And she's like, no.
No, you'll stay with me.
And I was like, no, you need to tell me. You need to let me know a hotel.
I think I did finally let you because you told me I had to.
And no, you didn't.
Did
you? Wouldn't.
I thought I did. No. I thought I did. Okay. Huh.
And here I am riding 450 some miles on my motorcycle.
In March. The further north he went, the
colder it got. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell have I gotten myself into?
Oh, no.
I'm going to show up at this person's door. She's probably going to take one look at me and tell me to turn around and get the hell out of here.
No, I pretty
and
much...
And where am I going to go?
I fell over your lap and was like, spank me.
Yes.
And then here's what's funny. So our very first spanking, he got like 3 smacks in and I was sobbing and I couldn't handle it. It was too hard.
Yeah.
And I thought he'd never spank me again after that because you scared yourself. You didn't scare me. I would never have allowed you to touch me if I had any kind of like uneasiness. I've got too many anxieties and a stranger danger thing. Oh, hell no. You could never have touched me consensually if I had a sense of unease. But so he wallops my ass like fucking hard. And I'm like almost falling off of his lap to get away. Like, no. And I thought you were going to cry. Like, you were like, okay, you're not fucking touching you for a while. And I had to come back and ask you to later.
Yes.
I had to convince you that, no, that was just a rough moment.
Yeah.
And I'm fine. And you haven't...
Well, I didn't understand at that time how you related to spankings.
I didn't understand much either. I mean, okay. I had just sort of learned prior to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, you know, for you, spanking is an emotional release.
Well, and there's that. You did make me cry, but you made me cry in 3 smacks. Part of it, I think, yeah, there were probably some emotions like right under the surface there.
Right.
But you walloped my ass hard.
True. You did have my handprint.
It hurt like hell, and it was definitely a clamoring to get away. No, this is too much. But, you know, from that point, from that first week, and we spent the week together.
Yes.
You came on like a...
a Saturday, Sunday or something, ride. Yeah.
And then you left again like Friday, Saturday, and it... And I don't even remember every detail of that week.
No.
But that was it. That was it. Yeah. I tried, I think, for like another couple of weeks to sort of go, oh, yeah, I'm still casual. But I let the others just sort of drop off, like, yeah, whatever. And then the moment we planned the next visit, which ended up, I think, being in either April or May, might have been May, that was it for me. There was no, and that point, you got to meet the boys.
Yes.
Because they had to be with me.
Right.
And it was less kinky fuckery. I mean, there was still kinky fuckery.
Yeah.
But it was less kinky fuckery and more here's us interacting together. Yeah. And it's funny when I think in terms of how long something should be, I think I'm very old fashioned in my mind because I think, oh, it should take months and months and months. But really from that first real email to the day you spanked me until I cried, it was only 3 months.
I know.
It really was only 3 months.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, give or take, in May when you were back, that was it. I don't even think we were saying the L word yet, but that was it.
That's when you chipped me.
It is when I chipped you. You weren't getting the fuck away from me. I got a microchip in your ass. Some vet will pick you up. They'll swipe the wand. They'll send you back to me. It's fine. But now thinking of the postcard we got from Cassie. Yes, I'm saying that right. Y'all know I suck at trying to remember names. I'm awful and I feel so sorry. I'm so sorry. But yeah, Cassie was talking about meeting up with her partner in long distance and then that separation. That is very real. It is hard. Yeah. To have that time together. Cause you know, it's the thing that we discovered when we moved in together, that was 2014. So all 2013 from March through 2013, we were visiting each other when we could. You came to me more often than I went to you, but I did go to you.
Yes.
Labor Day of 2013, I packed the kids up in the car and we drove.
Yeah.
And the kids were like, where are we going? We're going down to Tampa Bay.
Going adventure.
It's going to be great. There was almost no sex that weekend because we were sharing a hotel room with two little kids. They were too young for me to let them have their own room. We did have very quiet sex under the covers, which was kind of sexy and nice. But it was like a family thing.
Right.
And, but yeah, so all of 2013, we kept having to do these, see each other for 3 or 4 days or a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then part again, and it was painful every time.
Yes, it was.
And so we would set the date of when we were going to see each other next so that we could have that to
look forward.
And we kept it to like every 4 to 5 weeks. Even if it was just a weekend, we made sure we were together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at the beginning of 2014 that you and I had a very serious conversation.
Yes, we did.
And I said, I love you and I want to be with you, but I'm not staying with a married man. This is not cool. This doesn't go anywhere.
I was already living at my sister's then.
No, because we had the conversation and you called me the night you broke the news to your now current ex-wife. Oh, yes. Because I helped walk you through the plan of what you wanted to do. My experience of doing doing all your own paperwork in a Florida divorce, all of it. And because we had a very serious conversation, I said, this has no future as long as you're married. And if this is, I'm not going to do this and not have a future.
Right.
So what are we and what are we doing? I said, but I'm also not going to tell you what to do. You have to do what is right for you.
Yeah.
I know what I want that to be. But I said 5 years from now, I won't have you look at me and say, I left this old life for you and I regret it. You have to decide what you want to do. Basically, it sounded like nothing like what you might think a submissive is supposed to sound like.
Yeah.
But that pretty much set the pattern for our relationship because when it's a serious conversation.
Well, it had.
I say what has to be said. As long as it's polite and respectful, I express myself. So, yeah, I remember. Oh, my God. I remember. You talked about it. You thought about it. You told me what your plan would be. I did not help you plan any of that.
No.
I stayed out of it and let you make the decision. And that was a very conscientious thing. I did that on purpose for that reason.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't work out and you started missing some part of your old life, I never wanted you to look at me and say, you convinced me this was a good idea. I needed it to be what you want to do. Now, I didn't understand all the ins and outs of that situation at the time.
True.
So I couldn't have known at the time, but I stepped back.
Yeah.
Not in our relationship, but in that decision-making process. But I remember the night you spilled the news and you finally got a chance to call me. You told me this is the day I'm going to have this conversation. I'm like, oh my God, my stomach is sick for him. Oh my God. And then you called and you were relaying the things, the cruel, ugly things that were said. And I was like, okay, he's mine now. And I'll cut a bitch. They better be nice to him. I would never actually do that, but I like to think I would. And then you went through some hell. Until everybody calmed down. Thankfully, they did calm down. I don't have faith in people, so I was pretty much convinced it was just going to be that way forever, but they calmed down. And then I remember when you did the paperwork and you would call and talk to me. And I'm like, I'm looking at this form and what? And huh? And I'm like, oh, you have the easy form because you don't have minor children you have to deal with. I had the thing that when I printed it was 3 inches thick. I still have that somewhere. I'm like, oh, yeah, you just do this, you just do that, and blah, blah, blah. And y'all worked it out. And by May of 2014,
it was done.
And in June of 2014, we were moved in together. But yeah, you made the announcement and then you went and lived with your sister,
right,
while you dealt with all the stuff.
Yes.
And I remember
that. And it was probably,
maybe it was late 2013 when you did that, when you moved in with your sister.
Yeah.
And then, because see, what I remember is,
and I know, well, too, yeah, it was like a year prior. We weren't even sharing a room together anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that was a whole, I was not the reason for anything. I
guess
I was just the catalyst, which I'm okay with that too. But the other thing I remember is at the beginning of 2014, after we'd had this year of visiting back and forth. And of course you did come to see me because you could stay with me and I would not have stayed at your sister's house. That would have been weird.
Yeah.
It was in the early 2014 when we looked at each other and said, I don't want to do long distance forever.
Right.
And we started making plans for moving in.
Yes.
And we made them slowly and methodically.
Mm-hmm.
It was the February visit.
Yes.
Or was it the April visit where I wasn't going to get to see you anymore?
I think it was early April, either late March or early April.
I saw you in February. We started making plans and mapping out what we wanted to do and what the process would be. And then in April, we said, okay, we can't do any more visits.
Right.
The next time
I come is when we do the move.
We do the move. And that was the longest time we'd spent apart.
Apart.
That was hard.
It was tough.
And even though we knew what the result was, that I was going to move, pack up my kids and my stuff and come down
it
here.
It was still tough.
It was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. But it was a very slow, methodical thing. We made lists and we checked them off and we talked about it. And then you had to do the apartment hunt because you had to do it on your own. I wasn't there, so you were calling me going, oh my God, I just saw this place. No, I just got the hell out.
Yeah.
Like, I trust you. Because, you know, the nice thing is, one, you were my dominant, and two, you know, I trusted you. I mean, I would never have done any of the other things if I hadn't trusted you. And I knew you weren't just thinking of me. You were thinking of the kids. And you were like, oh no, I'm not letting them stay here.
Right,
this isn't safe. And I was able to go. It was a very freeing feeling. It was difficult because I do still have some control issues, but it was also,
really,
I know, it's shocking. It was very freeing though, to be able to go, I trust him to make the best possible decision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to second guess, but it was, I mean, we did every time we talk about long distance relationships, it is because we have done it and we have been there.
Got the t-shirt.
And for anybody who's wanting to or planning to or trying to take your long distance into a move-in situation, y'all, we've been there too, because we've talked about that before too, about how difficult that was.
And
I talk about this more online and in some other places I write for more than we've talked about it here, but the difference is when you're long distance, when you get that time together, even if there's other people around, even if you still have kids to deal with all that, it's more like a kinky fuckery vacation, because you're going to live every kinky moment you can while you can when you're together to make up for that time when you're not together.
Correct.
And the difference is when you move in together, it's not like that.
No.
You might be able to do it for a little while. We did it for about a week.
Yeah.
Where we were very kinky, but my head got in the way too, though.
Well, your head got in the way, and we had to step back from the DS for a little bit.
Just a few weeks.
But it was funny. We had a little bit of a hot mess when we moved in.
Literally a hot mess.
Now, what was funny, she thought it was funny at the time. I found an apartment that pretty much mirrored the place you were living.
Yeah, the townhouse I had been living in. Yeah.
And
same setup, same layout, all of it.
And when at the time it was available, I jumped on it because one of my thoughts was, well, it's a familiar surrounding, mm-hmm. and for you and especially the boys,
right?
It might make it a little easier, the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was all excited about that, and you know, I was staying there.
Probably a month or two before
she came down, and you know, it was okay. I mean, for me, I don't, you know.
I go to work,
I come home, and I crash.
It was not the place I would have wanted to live my whole life, but it was not awful. I have certainly lived in worse places. From first appearances, I mean.
Yeah. So, you know, I went up and we got packed up and loaded the U-Haul. And
the kids went to stay with their grandparents for a couple weeks so we could get everything sorted and moved in and settled.
I had a contingent of my family waiting there to help unload.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And boy, that unloading went...
I know. That's because we had the...
Well, one, all the boxes were organized on the truck. Plus, they were labeled where they go, and as they were unloaded, they just went.
But
to
one
whatever.
Of the people who actually was instrumental in, because the man can lift probably 3 or 4 times his body weight.
Right?
I don't know how to explain his relationship, but he was very close to your sister who died in 2015, and so they have a child together, and so he came to help, and he. A couple times I was like, oh, I'm sure that's going to take 2 or 3 people to help lift. And he would just hoist that thing up on one shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's shorter than we are. I was like, okay.
And away he went.
Yeah. So,
you know, anyway, we got everything unloaded and, you know, we had pizza for everybody. And then everybody went home and we're sitting there.
And it's hot.
And thinking, it's kind of hot in here.
I know. And we're...
And didn't really think too much of it at the time because...
Yeah, we have the door open.
The door open,
we're still
you know,
hot from having moved all these boxes and yeah.
And I was like, it's going to take the AC a little bit to catch up after all that.
Right. And it's a 2-story townhouse and one small AC. And we had all these reasons.
Well, the AC never caught up.
And we lived there for a year and the AC never caught up.
So, We had a meltdown because it was June in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, basically it's like living on the sun.
Right.
Miami would have it worse. They're further south. But it's like living on the sun.
So it was miserably hot. So, it was kind of hard to be in a DS mindset that too.
But, I mean, and it was funny because I look back on it now. And thankfully, we were in a good place with each other kind of from the very beginning because without thinking about it or trying, we tackled that problem like we tackle every other thing we go through. We talk about it.
Yeah.
We share our ideas. We come up with a solution. I go, yes, Daddy. And then
we implement.
And then we implement. And it might not be the perfect solution the first time.
Right.
But because we agree and we worked on it together, when we go, oh, that didn't work, we shift gears together. You know, there's no recriminations. There's no, oh, well, that was your idea and it fucking sucked. It was, okay, we're both all in and let's... move through it.
Plan B.
Right.
Yeah.
And it, you know, we didn't, I think we knew we were like that when we planned me quitting my job and moving down there and packing up my kids and changing everything, which was at the time it felt inevitable. It felt right. And it didn't really dawn on me just how big of a thing I was doing until it was done.
Yeah.
And I went, oh my God, I just packed up my whole fucking life.
And we did it. We did it. Fairly flawlessly.
I know. And what was so wonderful and yet bittersweet. All the people who love me most were so sad to see me move away because I was moving further away from them. And yet at the same time, they were so happy for us, or so happy for me. They didn't quite know you. You were still the one they don't know very well. They really like you now, though, by the way. But they were so happy for me. And it was a completely different vibe. Like, I go back in my head 12 years prior to when I moved in with, when he was still my boyfriend at the time, my now ex-husband, and I think, this joy did not exist this time ago. No, this is a whole different feeling, you know? And it, on a certain level, there felt like an inevitability through the whole thing. You know, the moment that we started talking, I felt comfortable. I never feel comfortable with people, you know? And that's not completely true. Here's who I feel comfortable with. People who have read my blog, and I know them online and have read what they write. Even if they don't write a blog, but they write their thoughts, and I get that peek into who they are. I actually don't know how to deal well. I try, but I think I fail, with people who don't blog, because I feel like I don't know them. And so then I have to get to know them from sort of scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for me. And it's hard for a lot of people, but I know myself and I know how hard that is. So being able to read your thoughts and your words, even though some of them were silly and it wasn't, you know, as angst-filled as all mine were, was a connection. And from that connection, it didn't always feel like it in the moment, but when I look back and I see it from some distance, we were sort of propelled this way forward. And everything, even when I would have a meltdown and freak out, or I would try to deny my feelings, everything, it was like gravity was just sort of pulling us in a certain direction. And we had to overcome challenges. We had to learn how to work together. I still remember our first real disagreement. And that was, we've been living together for less than a week. And I was like, I never thought, oh my God, have I made a bad decision?
No.
I just thought, oh my God, I never want to feel this way with him.
Right.
I do not like this feeling. No. But I also sort of came into my own at that time, because that's mm-hmm. when I learned, I'd always said the right words of a submissive is strong, a submissive has their own opinions, but I had never disagreed with you before. So I had never had to assert my opinions that were contrary to your opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, and I could, and I
and
did.
You did. Yes.
And what made that work is that you were who you had always been. You didn't blow up at me. You didn't freak out. You didn't start calling me names. You were your consistent self. You disagreed with me. You told me you disagreed with me. We learned a lot about each other in a very short amount of time.
Yes.
From actually living together in the day to day and going through the, it's hotter than the goddamn sun in this fucking place, and don't touch me. And we had to take cold showers and then sleep on top of the covers with the fan at full. I mean, it was just awful. It's not conducive to your kinky fuckery.
No,
we tried. It is not conducive.
Uh-uh.
And then they would get the AC on and we go, oh, look, the AC, kinky fuckery. And then the AC would die. And then, and then we had to go get the kids. It was just, it was crazy. And yet I don't, when I look back at that, you know, there are a lot of memories I have of things that didn't work out. And when I look back at them, they're still kind of painful or icky, or I dread. I don't even like to think about them. I don't like to pull those memories out of my head and go, ugh. But even our worst moments, which granted, we're disgustingly cute. I know that. Our worst moments are like really good days for some people. That's not how I feel. I think, well, look at us. We got through that. Yeah, he kind of annoyed me that day. But look at us. We got through that. And look what came of that. And look how we learned each other better. We learned how to communicate better as a result of the first time you ever made me cry in a non-kinky way.
Yeah.
You know? But it wasn't that you made me cry. It was your experience dealing with people. Your bad tape came up against my bad tape.
Right. And it wasn't pretty.
There was a clash.
Yeah.
You know, but we learned more about each other, and we were so determined to make it work
that we learned from that experience and moved through it.
So I don't know if that answers the things people wanted to know, but yeah, 2014, June 2014, we move in together.
Seventh.
Was it the seventh? I was thinking it was the eighth. I don't remember. But okay. Your memory is better than mine. And then May the 4th, 2016, you proposed. And on October 28th, 2017, we will be married.
Yeah.
Oh, and so we went to our local munch last week. And I don't usually say much at the munch. I listen. I'm there to kind of soak up the vibe and just sort of be there. I have been asked to speak at next month's munch.
Yes.
And I'm already nauseous with nerves over the idea of it. And it's a month away. But we got to talking around the table. It was a pretty small group. And we were talking about sadism and masochism. And a female dominant who's a wonderful lady, she said, she asked who at the table, because there were three or four sadists. Mm-hmm. And she asked, well, who here is a masochist? And I was the only masochist. And she said, well, do people give you crap and tell you that there's something wrong with you? I'm like, not for being a masochist. I said, apparently, you know, everybody goes, oh yeah, I like spankings too. And I go, yeah, yeah, that's why I like spankings, which I do, but that's not how I define my masochism. But I said, no, I get shit for being submissive and being female and blah, blah, blah. And so then the conversation drifted and they were like, oh, well, there's these other meetups that we're doing at the end of the month. And they're all this weekend. And we're like, we're a little busy. Yeah. And they said, with what? I'm like, getting married. And they all looked at us kind of funny. And I know they are a wonderful bunch. And I know they were just being there themselves. But one person was like, oh, well, I've done that four times. I won't do it again. I'm like, well, happy fucking married wedding day to you too. You know, like, is that really what you tell the people who are about to be newlyweds? But I said, and it was the strongest, boldest thing I've ever said in this group. I said, well, when somebody explained to me that you, as well as my prior dom, that to them collaring was like being married, I said, well, if you can fucking collar me, you can fucking marry me. I'm not doing one without the other. And everybody at the table just sort of looked at me. And
yep.
I wasn't sure if it was because that was the strongest opinion I'd ever uttered in that group over 3 years of going.
Right.
Or if it's because they all fundamentally disagreed with me. But I said, look, I said, what other people do, I fully support that. Other people don't have to want to get married. I said, but I want my tax break. And I'd like all the legal perks that come with being a married couple. Thank you very much. So I'm going to get married. Thanks. But yeah, so it's sometimes it feels like it's been the blink of an eye. And then sometimes it feels like forever. In a good way. Oh my God, it's been forever. But I confessed something to my therapist the other week that I will confess here.
Uh-oh.
I don't think I've even told you.
Oh, goodness.
Well, somebody's going to go, oh, and somebody's going to go, yeah, I know what you're talking about. So when I say or even think about how much I love John Brownstone, I don't care how good of a writer I am, I don't have words. Like, I can describe the reasons, I can describe some of the ways it makes me feel, but I truly do not have the right words. And my anxious brain is really good at the what if game. And sometimes the what if game is fun and you think of all kinds of fun. My anxious brain does not play the fun what if game. It goes to catastrophe level, apocalyptic levels. And as we've been getting closer to the wedding date, not thankfully in the past couple of weeks, this has not happened this week at all, thank God. Sometimes I'll be laying in bed and I'll be thinking about how much I love you. And then I'll be thinking, and then my stupid, mean, awful brain will say, oh my gosh, what if something happens? What if you're in a car accident? What if you're in a motorcycle accident? What if you get sick? The what if game always goes to what if, which is really when, but still, what if John Brownstone dies? And it's an immediate reaction. I sob. I don't know if you've ever noticed, I tend to curl up to you and hold on to you really, really tight. One night you did notice and you said, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Because in my head, I'm thinking, the day he's gone, I'm lost. And I will be lost forever. So, try not to play that what if game in my mind. Which is why I'm only kind of, sort of joking. I'm 10% joking when I say we're going out together. but that has been happening a lot lately because for me, marriage is a sign of commitment. Clearly, marriage doesn't mean you stay together forever. You can't have gone through your own divorce and ever believe that again. Yeah. But the fact that I'm willing to marry you because I told myself after my divorce, oh, I'm not going through that shit again, is meaningful. You know, because it for me, knowing what I know now about failed marriages, when in my mind, in my family, marriages didn't end. People stuck it out even when they really should have divorced. Mm-hmm. And I thought at first that me getting a divorce was somehow going to be seen as a failure for for my family, except they all wanted to celebrate and they were wondering what took me so long. Apparently I was waiting for permission that I never got and I had to give it to myself. So for me to know how badly a marriage can end and what it takes to end one, to love somebody enough to say, me, the one with trust issues and walls that are miles thick, to say, knowing what I know, I am damn well gonna fucking marry you, and everybody wants to stop that, should get the fuck out of my way. That means, for me, that is a deep level commitment, and it also means I know exactly what I stand to lose in whatever situation, tragedy or I don't know. So yeah, my brain has really been mean to me the past couple of months. So yeah, when I told you we were walking in from our errands this morning before recording the episode, I said, no, we're going out like Thelma and Louise, holding hands. We're going out together. So yeah. Wow, this episode went way longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
I just turned to look at our computer screen with the audio recording going. I can see the time.
I know.
So that, I think, is maybe more of our origin story than anybody really wanted.
Right.
Because most of you, I mean, since 2015 when we started the podcast, that's been us.
Yeah.
You know, there's not, there was a couple years prior to that. So, it's, you know,
yeah,
there was more to it. But, you know, so when we talk about long distance relationships, y'all, we're coming at it from a very real perspective.
Yeah.
When I talk about, you know, submissives with broken hearts, y'all, I know.
Yep.
Trust issues. I wish some of you had more trust issues, but for those of you who have the really thick walls around you, you know, find somebody with a chisel and some patience. That's who you deserve, you know? But yeah, so that's us. And we're about to get fucking married.
Yes, we are.
And I'm going to wear my cute dress and I'm going to eat some pretty cake.
Mm-hmm.
So when we ordered the cake, I think I've told this story before, but I really like this story because I think y'all know me as a baby girl, so you will understand this. So we're ordering the cake, and it's very pretty, and I'm hoping to get some actual pictures, and I'm really hoping to actually post some so you guys can see them. I have to give my phone to somebody trustworthy. Not just, oh, they won't break my phone, but that if they accidentally see a nude or one of my Kayla or Loving BDSM tweets come through, they won't go, what is this?
Right.
So basically, I cannot hand my phone to anybody vanilla. So I'm hoping to get some pictures that we can actually share. But the cake is really pretty, and it's going to be this cream and purple and some purple polka dots on it is just so cute. And it's cute like that because it's covered in fondant. And at the bakery, the lady said, well, do you want the fondant? And she said, we can do a buttercream instead, but it won't look the same. Now, I'm ordering this because of the fucking picture, so I want it to look like that. She said, well, fondant doesn't really taste that good. I said, will there be buttercream icing underneath the fondant? Yes. Then put some fucking fondant. I didn't say fucking. Leave the fondant. And then she's like,
she said it in her eyes.
And my tone. And I said, if they don't like how it tastes, they can peel it off, right? She's like, yeah, they can. Good, because this is what I want my damn cake to look like. And I told my mother, my mother who paid for the cake, thank God for her. I said, yeah, supposedly that stuff doesn't taste good. I don't. She says, who cares? It's pretty. I said, thank you, Mom. My mom gets it. My mom gets me. We're good. And she paid for the cake. So I'm really, everybody keeps going, oh, are you excited for the wedding? No, I'm excited to wear my dress and my crinoline that gives me the poofy skirt and eat my damn cake. And actually the dinner yacht thing that we're getting married on has a menu of 11 items. And we were looking at the menu when we were there the other day. And one of them is the most expensive thing on the menu. And it is the filet mignon. And I was like, yes, that is what I'm getting. Oh yeah, I've paid for everybody's fucking meal in this wedding party. I'm having this big old thick steak. Thank you very much. Which filet mignon is actually a small one.
Yeah.
But it's usually really thick. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes. Yes, that's what I'm having. Done. And then give me some fucking cake. So yeah, that's us. And we're not doing a bonus section because this whole episode's a bonus
then
section.
Bonus, yeah.
And I feel like I need to do this because some people have asked, what is a cricket? And then I explain, they go, oh, I'm a cricket. Okay, so you have to blame some of y'all out there listening on this. When we start doing the bonus section, because if you haven't noticed, I'm kind of rambly. started doing the bonus section as a way to have the rambles but move them to the end so people who don't want the rambles can get out while they still can.
Save yourself.
Right. They can get the information they're there to get. I can't remember how I said it. Some of y'all will probably remember better, but I said something about, let me talk to the crickets, or we're just talking to ourselves and the crickets out there. And then somebody was like, I'm a cricket. And then we came up with the expression proud right. crickets. And so anybody who listens to every episode all the way to the bitter end and my ramblings don't annoy the fuck out of you, you are a cricket. You are a cricket and we love you. But you know what? We love you even if you're not a cricket.
Right.
If you show up every so often, you go, oh, that topic looks good, and you listen to it and you think, yeah, she's kind of annoying because she keeps interrupting him and she's sort of rambling, but the information's good, I still love you. It's good. So, yeah. I feel like we should end this, but I'm also feeling really good, and I could probably keep going.
You probably could.
He's rubbing my back like the signal for baby girl. It's
time.
I know. We've got wedding stuff to do. We got to put together favors.
Yep.
They can be pretty.
Yeah.
Once I get those together, I may take a picture of those.
Mm-hmm.
Pop them out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have no clue how quiet or not we'll be this weekend, because if I get a moment to myself, I tend to look at my phone. Especially when my family starts annoying me. I'm like, oh, no, I need the Twitter. Give me the Twitter. Give me the kinky Twitter. So I have no idea where we'll be and how around we'll be, but
yeah,
we'll be back if we're quiet on the actual 28th.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back, but yeah. We might not be. We might like go hide in a corner of the boat and go save us, kinky Twitter. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
But and Sunday might be iffy too because we're still gonna have
a lot of family around.
Yeah,
I know. Monday's my birthday.
Yeah,
I think they'll all be gone by then. And I've already got plans to completely indulge.
Yeah.
And you'll
have a birthday spanking.
Woohoo! And I'm turning 38, which means I get 39 spanks.
Yep.
Yay! <I'm very laughs> You can give that gift to me as many times as you'd like. I wouldn't mind going to my wedding with a red ass.
Careful what you ask for. You might not be able to sit down.
That's okay. I can eat cake standing up. Okay.
All right.
I thought this would be a short show. We let it go all the time.
Yeah, all right.
It's okay.
Okay.
We love you guys.
Love you. Thank you
for everything.
Being with us all this time.
And for listening to these rambles.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love you.
We do love you.
Thank you.
Yes.
And remember, keep it kinky, y'all.
We'll see you next week.